I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. President Bush heads straight to the scene of disaster instead of just flying over. There's no getting around the comparison of the response to the wildfires out west versus the hurricanes in the Gulf states. We'll talk about that with the barbershop guys and our political analysts. Also today, award-winning artists who also want to be voices for peace. From Washington's National Cathedral, we hear from rocker Graham Nash and blues man Kebmo. But first, although fires are still burning out west, firefighters have gained control largely over the 16 blazes that have devastated acres of homes and agricultural areas. But as President Bush and California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger share praise over an effective response, some wonder whether those lessons were learned at the expense of residents of the Gulf Coast. And the House takes up a children's health insurance program again. Is this taking a stand or just grandstanding? Here to talk about all of this, Democratic pollster Ron Letster is with us on the phone, and also Tara Settmeyer, a conservative commentator and political strategist based here in Washington, D.C. She's here in the studio. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, great. It's great, Michelle.
So, Ron, first, how did the president's visit to California play? Do you think that he showed an effective response?
Well, I'm glad that he went. If I was advising him, he would have been out there earlier during the week. It was clear that this was going to be a major problem. He went maybe, I think, some of his people will say that he didn't go until it got to a point where it was safe for him to come in. But it seemed to me that he showed up a little late, once again, a day late and a dollar short. And with these natural disaster situations like this, you really need to be on top of it. I think that's part of the key. Certainly with Katrina, the federal government was late, was unprepared, and I hope that that doesn't happen here. I think the jury is still out.
Ron, I have to ask you there, because the argument really is it takes a lot of logistical support to bring a head of state into a situation like that. I mean, I think, isn't it reasonable to say that isn't it better to stabilize the situation on the ground before you draw law enforcement resources, public safety resources to protecting and supporting the president as opposed to serving the people who need help? I mean, isn't that a reasonable thing to do?
I would agree with that. And in terms of the argument that perhaps it wasn't safe enough to bring him out there, well, he could have gone to Sacramento, met with the governor there, and they could have put together a plan. He didn't have to go. Didn't have to necessarily be on the scene. I think that just being attentive at an early stage and being prepared is very important here.
Okay. Tara, let's go to you for comparisons of FEMA's response to the natural disaster in California and the previous disaster in Louisiana and Mississippi are being made. Two questions. Is it fair to compare the two?
Well, I just want to quickly say one thing about the comparison of the president's response time. You made a very, very valid point, Michelle, that it does take. People have no idea the enormous logistical nightmare it is to bring the president anywhere. So to say that he didn't respond or that he wasn't attentive enough in this case, I think is unfair criticism. He declared a federal disaster zone rather quickly, and he was out there as quickly as they could be. And if you wanted to meet with the governor in Sacramento, then there would been criticism that the governor was in Sacramento instead of on the ground meeting the needs of the people. So now I'm not going to apologize for the president or the federal government's response for Katrina, but that was another unfair criticism, I think, because logistically for the president to be on the ground in Louisiana, it wasn't I know emotionally it was something that was targeted, and it didn't present well. But there are very practical reasons why the president wasn't there immediately that I think people should be aware of. It had nothing to do with any particular affinity or non-affinity for people of color. Now, as far as a comparison to Katrina, I think that in an overall comprehensive emergency response capacity, the natural comparisons will emerge. Obviously, the number of people, the fact that they were brought to a stadium, just you see the natural comparisons come in. Where it's different from Katrina is that this was basically a state and local response. And that's where people need to understand emergency response has to start at the local level. It starts there and it moves its way up. And this was a success story because of the coordination efforts. I think that they saw some of the mistakes in Katrina and made sure that there's no way our state will suffer that same fate. And they made sure those aspects of emergency response were taken care of. I know that Congressman Rohrabacher, he conducts, his staff conducts.
Who's your boss?
Yes, that's my boss. In California, in Huntington Beach, thankfully our district was not affected as negatively as the ones around us. But my boss conducts emergency response training for firemen, for first responders in our district for reasons just like this, to be prepared. Prepare, Boy Scouts say it, be prepared. That's what we were here, and it was successful.
Tara, the president also made the point, as you just made, that the difference is effective state leadership. And so let's sort of setting aside the question of the fact that the residents of this area were far more affluent than many of the people of New Orleans, able to travel in their own vehicles, had the means to get to hotels sort of on their own, didn't need a lot of sort of outside help. Question I have now is, what's next? I mean, should the federal government be involved in restricting development in areas that are likely to be subjected to these kinds of disasters, whether it's in wildfire zones in California, in hurricane zones in Florida, or in a place like New Orleans? Should the federal government be more involved,
Ron? That's a good question. I think that that question begs to be answered itself. And I think that the issue comes down to this. Federal government needs to be prepared better and needs to be proactive in terms of reactive, in terms of these natural disasters. I mean, you could make the case that bad land management contributed to both disasters, both Katrina and the wildfires. In Southern California, you know, a huge contributing factor was the fact that the proper clearing of the underbrush hadn't been done, that the Forest Service has the obligation to be responsible for large tracts of federal land, and that a lot of that work had not been done in California. In Katrina, you could certainly make the case that it was well known that the levees that had been built over the years since the last Hurricane Betsy really didn't have the strength to handle a level 3, 4, or 5 hurricane. I mean, that was well known. And there had been bills in Congress. This issue had been discussed. Tulane had done a research and demonstration project in 2005 that actually proved that if a certain amount of rain hit New Orleans, that the levees would break. And it just kind of went unnoticed. So in the future, the federal government has to be better prepared in advance for these potential national disasters, because the state and local governments really don't have the resources to handle it. When you start talking about the expense of building new levees, about clearing the underbrush, that has to be a federal function.
Okay, Tara, just pause one just a second so that I can say that if you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our Friday political roundtable. Tara, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that the federal government in a natural disaster situation, sure, they're always going to play the macro role. But where's the responsibility of individuals who choose to live in these areas? At this point now, when people make a decision to purchase a home or to live in an area, there's a lot of thought and research that goes into that. And if you know you're taking the risk, that's why we have flood insurance, or that's why they have different policies, fire insurance, because you know that the area that you're in is prone to these disasters.
Well, but where the government supports people in living in these areas by extending water lines, by extending zoning approval.
Oh, that's
people
true.
People can't just drive out in their truck and pitch a tent anymore.
That's true. But I think there's given the scope of the disaster in New Orleans and what's going on here, this is raising the issue again of, is it the federal government's responsibility to bail you out of that after you take the risk of doing it? I think there's a certain amount of a discussion to be had about whether that's a valid use of public funds. Should tax dollars pay for people to rebuild or live in an area that is natural disaster prone at this level?
So, Chris, speaking of the question of sort of how public funds should be used, we must get to this issue of the Children's Health Insurance Bill, or SCHIP. Yesterday, the House passed a revised version of the bill. The administration and Congress have been fighting over this for a couple of weeks now. Democrats in Congress want to extend coverage from the 6 million currently covered to about 10 million. A lot of Republican support for the bill, but not enough to override a veto. The president's vetoed a previous version of the bill. House passed it again yesterday. 43 Republicans voted for the bill, but it still isn't a veto-proof majority. So, Tara, I want to ask you, how do we evaluate this? Is this a victory for the president? Is it stubbornness on the part of the Democrats? Or are they just, taking a stand on principle to say, we believe that 10 million children should be covered?
Well, if they were taking a stand on principle, they would have waited and made sure that the entire House was available to vote for it instead of trying to push this through while you have a dozen members of Congress in California taking care of their constituents in a major disaster. So if it was really about the children and they were really standing on principle, then there's no reason why this vote couldn't have happened on Tuesday. This is one of those issues where, you know, Democrats love to pull out old people and children and say that, oh, Republicans are heartless. They don't want to insure children and you know, they're going to starve elderly folks. And this is just a way of it's absolutely political. Now,
okay.
The other side of it.
I'm sorry, let me get Ron on this. We have a minute and a half left. Ron, let me hear from you.
Yeah, I am just it just never seems to not amaze me that the Republicans don't get this one. I mean, and this is just what's killing them with the voters. I mean, this is a bill that is going to cover literally millions and millions of children who don't have health insurance now. You know, figuring out and fine-tuning the details is one thing. But talking about whether or not the federal government should be involved in this is another. Now, I think that there are some legitimate reasons that it isn't veto-proof. I think that there are lots of loose ends that need to be tied up for this legislation. But the fact that 43 Republicans voted for it was great. I think that over time, the longer this thing is debated, more Republicans will come over because it's the right thing. It needs to be done. Congress needs to figure it out. This is why the American people were so upset with Congress last time that they changed Congress, they changed leadership, et cetera, because this is something that just needs to be done now. Figuring out, fine-tuning the details is one thing.
Okay.
But it really shouldn't even be a discussion about whether or not it needs to be done.
Well, Tara, I have time for one more comment from you.
Well, take out the fact that illegal aliens are covered under this. Take out the fact that there
are
adults covered in that.
Democrats say they're not.
What they're saying is that there's no component in this to prove that you're a legal citizen, which in our opinion means that if you're illegal, then you can get coverage from federal dollars, and that absolutely should not be the case, and take out that adults are covered, and let's have a real discussion about who is actually eligible for SCHIP and who isn't. 50% of people who are eligible in most states don't even apply for SCHIP.
Okay. Well, we'll have to leave it there. That a discussion maybe they should be having in Congress. I don't know. What do you think, Ron?
Yeah, I think so, but I also think it's ridiculous to say that immigrant children don't need health care.
Illegal.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thanks, both of you. Tara Settmeyer is a conservative commentator. She's communications director for Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. She joined us in the studio. Thanks, Tara. Appreciate it. And we were also joined by Democratic pollster and political strategist Ron Lester. He was kind enough to join us on the phone from his office in Washington. Ron, thanks to you.
Thanks a lot.